Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Betchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story. In this episode,
La Comida. A young woman struggles to become the best chef she can be, almost forgetting why she even loves to cook in the first place. Just a movie about a chef. Food movie?
I can do a food movie.
Okay.
You feeling a food movie?
Let's do a food movie.
I'm going to put down this water bottle. Clink.
A movie about food. All right. I have an idea. He's a rat.
No. Eric, that's passe. He's Jon Favreau, right?
He's Jon Favreau. And then underneath his hat.
No, Eric. He's a rat. And then underneath his hat is Jon Favreau. We just blew this wide open.
All right.
That story is tapped.
Do you have any sort of philosophical ideologies that you think go overlooked when it comes to food and cooking and people's relationship with it?
That's a good question and kind of a cool place to start from. I like that.
Well, that's where I always start from. I just never say it out loud.
That's fair. I think it pays to say it out loud. I like that. Well, one thing that gets mentioned a lot that I've heard at least is that cooking in restaurants is sort of appreciated as an art, or at least as a craft, because it's done by men. It's sort of occupied as a professional sphere, and this is something that has improved with time, but it's still present, is that it's sort of looked down on as being domestic and not respected in the same way when women have done it at home in the past.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now we're getting into territory like where I thought Julie and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that movie where I give me the synopsis of that movie and I would say, oh, it's about cooking at home for the people you care about is to be taken just as seriously as cooking for like professionally in the world's eye. And then it wasn't that. So we could go with that. The thing is, before we decide on genre, tone, all of that, I am applying for a certain job, and the people who might be looking over at my application may listen to this very episode, and I'm just going to say, it's at Disney, so do you want to make, like, maybe live action, maybe we could do you want to make a sort of Coco-esque CG 3D animated movie, but about cooking, and
do we have to have ghosts?
We do not have to have ghosts. I'm just saying Coco struck a very particular vibe when it came to aesthetics. You know what I'm saying? And,
yes.
And that's sort of the wave we're on right now.
Yeah, and it does kind of have it does have kind of a different look than a lot of other Pixar movies.
Yeah, a lot of reds and oranges, which you tend to associate with, you know, Latin American, particularly Mexican, culture.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, more human proportions than a lot of other Pixar films have had. Except maybe Ratatouille.
So, CG 3D animated cooking movie.
Okay, yeah, great. I do like that idea.
Okay, I already have a sort of setup. You know, not necessarily a log line. Well, I suppose it's more of a log line than a slug line. Small time. And for a Disney movie, the main character would probably have to be a kid, young adult at the oldest. They are like a prodigy. They have either like a perfect palate or whatever, but they've only ever cooked for their own family, maybe a small town, maybe a small village, and then they go off and they enter, you know, a worldwide competition, and they're looked down on. Where the protagonist is looking like it's going to be a she, just to really drive the theme home without making it overt in your face.
I think overt in your face can be done well. I don't think we're the people to do it.
Yeah, for sure. She goes to this world competition and she's looked down on just because she doesn't have the awards and the accolades. And then the message.
Yeah. Because her training doesn't look like what they expect.
Exactly.
She learned to cook from the people in her life as she was growing up and learned to cook like from this farm-to-table style, like go outside in the garden and get the herbs that we have, as opposed to ordering from this one valley over wherever and going to a cooking school in France to get the formal education.
This is good.
This is good.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
and setup. We don't have to establish anything specific. So when I throw out these next few ideas, you know, we feel free to break them, feel free to ignore them. I feel like a good establishing bit for the character would be, I said perfect palate. Maybe instead they just love food that much. Because to give them a perfect palate is more, that's kind of what was happening with Ratatouille. He had an overly developed sense of taste and of smell. But I feel like the themes we're going for is that they didn't. It would be more appropriate for them to not have that. And they got there purely on hard work, born from love of cooking for others, you know?
Yes.
Because I do think there is a correct relationship. An objectively correct relationship with food. Josh over at Good Mythical Kitchen said, burnt, that's why I wrote it down. In the movie Burnt, like, it's all about ego. And, like, even when his goal is accomplished, it's to feed his ego. When in Chef with Jon Favreau, what he realizes is, oh, I don't need to go the mainstream big deal chef. That's not going to make me happy. Cooking for people is what makes me happy. And then that is actually what leads to him getting that sort of success as a mainstream chef in an established kitchen.
Okay.
So there, we've got our philosophical statement, we've got the tone, we've got the genre. It's going to have some slapstick comedy that we'll leave to writers, but it's a serious movie. Where is she from?
I don't know. I feel like we just have to pick a culture that we know anything about.
That's true. I do want to go with something South American, but I know very little about...
Yeah, like, we don't know. I don't know anything about... I don't know much about the food of any country in South America, and I know less about the culture broadly, so...
They, Because a big part of cooking is continuing culture of, particularly, your own. Though to make a character from only one specific culture, it would have to be something that the public eye sees as sort of cool. What's in the mainstream right now? Right now, I do feel like it is South American.
I mean, I feel like something that we can appeal to, at least like partially have a perspective on, and something that we actually know about, is people who live along the Texas-Mexico border.
Mm.
Because that's also like a mixture, a mixing of cultures, is that more like purely, at least from a food perspective, would lead to like a more like a mixture of a more purely Mexican style of cooking, with the potential to interact directly with like more of the Texas home style barbecue, resulting in culturally intersecting style of cooking.
All right, I'm digging it. Snaps.
And it's like it's someone from this area on either side of the border who interacts with a couple of different kinds of people, and they all influence her style of cooking.
Yeah, and I feel like we're definitely going with specifically Mexico. And to be clear, everyone listening, this would be directed and even written by someone else, but, you know, we're going for like a high level kind of just an idea. We're the idea guys. So this would be a either born in Mexico, born in Texas. That doesn't matter too much.
Well, but, I mean, it kind of does. It's that there are a lot of people who live on the American side of the border who, I mean, their families are Mexican. Like that area is to a lot of people, on the American side of the border, just as Mexican as the other side of the border. Oh, okay. It's like it was like a geopolitical conflict that happened like 150 years ago that drew that arbitrary line.
All right. Okay. We got to get into some specifics, but we're going to speed run because we're already 10 minutes in. We can cut some stuff out. However, we really got to fast track this soon. So born, raised American. And that can help play into the theme of your culture is not a sometimes thing. You can get swept up in like the picking and choosing to fit in, and then that can play into it. They are Southern, American, but then they go off more inland, maybe just to California is where I'm kind of seeing this cooking competition happen.
Yeah.
Because there are, you know, there's all these memes about, like, Californian Mexicans versus Texas Mexicans.
Yeah, that would be great, actually, seeing, like, the different ways that... First of all, Mexico is a huge country, and there's, like, more different aspects of Mexican culture than I know about. It's like if you travel from one end of Mexico to the next, you'd see a million different cultural experiences. And this would showcase an element of that, you know, we usually don't talk about. So our protagonist's family lives in...
The South. / where the West begins.
Where the West begins. To the West.
Coast.
Where the West ends.
Yeah.
And looking at different experiences of Mexicans and Mexican-Americans and different styles of Mexican and Mexican-American cuisine.
Yeah. And, all right, I just said a minute ago we need to fast-track this, and we didn't. So, okay, already got an idea. We already know where she starts, and... I suppose that would be the inciting incident is her actually going over there, or maybe the inciting incident is her deciding to go over to the West Coast to enter the cooking competition, but already got a good motif kind of idea in my head. Her family, village, club, whoever.
Town.
Decides to put together like a going away party, and with that a going away gift, and they put in... I'm imagining a big antique wooden box with all sorts of spices and stuff. I want to say ingredients, but specifically spices because those don't go bad. Yeah. For when she neglects it, and then later in the movie, to win the big competition, she's like, I'm just going to cook the way I know how. And then, you know, she throws in those kinds of spices, and that's what, like, wins her the competition. Or, you know, wins the hearts and minds, at least, because that's what... It was so overlooked by everybody else in the competition. They're like, where did you get these... exotic spices, and she's like, these are everywhere where I'm from, you know, organic.
Yeah.
Okay, the next phase we've got, yeah, you see, I'm too eager. I want to get to the next phase. What kind of cuisine are we talking about that's highbrow, that's really cool? But that is more a creative thing. First we have to decide, inciting incident, where is she? Does she want to, like, go to this cooking competition to get away? She sort of, you know, got this grandeur romanticized idea. Is it a cooking competition of like Iron Chef, or is it a culinary school? Are we doing Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off? Are we doing Shokugeki no Soma? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I think we're doing Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
Is it Iron Chef, or is it... It could be both. It could be culinary school... with, what are those called, externships?
Yeah, an intensive, if you will.
Yeah, she's, like, saved up all her money because she has this idea of how this goes. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, and she's away from her family, and she's sad. She meets someone cool, probably going to betray her. She meets somebody else cool who does not, because, you know, you got to have some allies.
Mm-hmm. Some friends become enemies, some enemies become friends.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. That could be pretty... tight. Ooh, okay, yeah, okay, that Family Guy reference just gave me an idea.
You never know where inspiration will come from, folks.
Someone she interprets as a bit too intense says, like, Japanese cuisine is better than Mexican cuisine, you know, like, just because I'm from that one, yours sucks. And she's like, ah, I'm so offended. And they have a cook-off, and maybe she wins, but I think more potential is she loses, and she's, like, about to be, like, heartbroken, but then the guy is like, that was really good, can I try some? He's like a straight up anime protagonist, like, he comes off as super intense, but he's actually, that's actually just passion, he's actually pretty humble kind of thing. Okay, and then he is like the enemy become friend,
right?
Okay, it's the inciting incident, but should there be a sort of road trip bit? You hear the snap, brief montage on her way there where she eats good food. And then a montage later where she's, like, obsessed with studying, obsessed with being, you know, the top of her class or the best in the cook-off or whatever. and she's just getting the same cafeteria meal over and over and over again.
Oh,
and then that's like, that. Like, she doesn't even notice it, but that's her like descent.
Yeah, that's your descent. There's a like a G.K. Chesterton quote. You're focusing too much on the words and you're forgetting the music.
Boom. So I'm thinking midpoint, and we do have enough to work with before actual midpoint, that maybe descent should be after the midpoints, because that's a really great downward curve to work with emotionally when it comes to story writing. I'm thinking the midpoint is her finding out about the competition. And then that is what sort of sets her on the path downward of, oh, I'm not seen as seriously. I know what can change their minds. It's me winning this cook-off. And then she, like, you know, starts looking into cooking techniques and opening up textbooks, but she's not actually cooking anything, you know?
Yes. Okay, And
then we'll have to come up with the character that ends up bringing her out of it. Maybe it's someone visits from home, but what I would prefer is she meets someone at this culinary school. So now we got to come up with, when she arrives, okay, we've got Mr. Anime Protagonist, who's just like super high energy all the time.
Ganbaru.
Indeed. We need someone a bit more salt of the earth, down to the earth. We've got our protagonist, who is very middle ground. We've got Japanese cuisine guy who's very intense, non-stop, just sponge for information. I feel like we should swing the pendulum back the other way and come up with someone pretty sedate, pretty, you know, low energy, and just not because they're slow, but like they're spitting wisdom. They're not there to impress anybody.
Food truck
like, oh,
taco truck.
Dang,
old school.
So many snaps this episode.
Yeah, like old. I don't know enough about California Mexican food. I think that's what we're gonna have to look up. Like old school classic California Mexican food truck style person.
Yeah,
and that's like, this is what he does all day long. He's like, you can make it different. You can't make this better.
Oh, that's tight. I love that. I was too busy. You see, this is why you gotta have a team. I was too busy. I had my blinders on. I was thinking another student. What is their specialty? But we get like the memes between different Mexicans living in America, like the California Mexico versus Texas Mexico. We've got someone who's like super Californian, and they work at a food truck that in the first half of the movie she goes to once or twice, maybe three times, part of a montage maybe even, and she's like, oh my gosh, this food is so good. This is like my comfort food. And they're, you know, not super social, so they're like, yeah, it's pretty great. I know. I made it. I'm dope. And then by the midpoint, starting at that midpoint, when she becomes obsessed, she stops going back, and then he's the one who, like, brings her out of it. And she's like, something needs to happen, and we'll think of that later. But she's, like, brought down, and he's like, yo, wait. You're insert last name here. No way. I'm like a distant cousin or something. And then that's when they, you know, that opens up the door to that. That's the trench. That's where she gets back up on her way up.
Right.
But we're still too obsessed with the second half. What are the events? What are the events that happen in the, we have to start from the beginning. What is the first scene that we see? What is the first thing we see?
It's a like a childhood flashback, cooking a signature dish. I'm going to propose enchiladas, because enchiladas are like the most delicious, amazing thing in the world.
Alrighty. We've got, it's a flashback that it's really got to establish where she's from physically and emotionally. Maybe we do get into specifics and say she's from a specific town that is real, or maybe we came to the States when she was very young instead of her being born and raised here. And maybe we establish where her parents are from and where the actual culture,
like the geographic origin.
Yeah, much more of a connection that way.
Right.
Okay, so we've got that first scene, she be cooking. Maybe it's the first time she really helped cook with her mom or her whole family even.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good first scene.
And there's a fun dissolve. It's like the enchiladas go into the oven.
Mm.
She opens the door as a young adult and pulls them out.
Older.
And, you know, it's a fun little, what is that? Match on image, match on action.
Yeah, match on enchiladas. And then we get that whole, maybe it's a run through kind of scene. Maybe it's a montage, but you know, her going from one location to the other, that gives you like an idea of the space we're working with. Like, she knows everybody. She's like, oh, I'm late for school. And she, like, puts down the enchiladas, takes off the oven mitts. Like, what? You're cooking enchiladas, like, first thing in the morning? That's a bit odd. But she just loves cooking, man. Takes off the oven mitts, picks up her backpack, runs through the streets, says hi to, like, literally everyone. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she, like, samples some foods. She, like, is like, oh, wait, hold on to that delivery for me after school. Ba-da-da-da-da. She gets there. And then maybe...
like,
we already have a full stop in that first kind of sequence of like, yeah, she has a great day at school. Maybe it's a voiceover. She's explaining, I love my life. I love my family. I love food. Da, 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 da. And then, okay, I said full stop because I thought she was going to be like sent to that cooking school against her will. But no, she wants to go there.
Right.
So
there's a little, there's like a little pamphlet in her room in her backpack that she's looking at all the time.
Right.
She's like got a little date circled on her calendar. It's like, I'll hear by this time if I've been accepted.
You know what? Where movies mostly go, and we're all about breaking formula. We're all about suplexing the formula and going against the grain. Most movies, she would be like hiding this from her parents, and then there would be like a confrontation, and then they would be like, fine, you can go, blah, 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 blah. But in this one, her family or somebody finds out and then tells her family, and her family's like psyched. They're like, this is great. Like, do it. We have your back. This movie's all about family and supporting family. So go. And then like, she's already off in a couple of scenes, you know?
Yeah.
Insert montage of her going
cross country. A little, look at, maybe there's like a look at a real roadside restaurant or two.
Yeah.
Eating good food, images of good food. This is making me hungry because now I'm just imagining like animated food. You people out there, you know what this is all about. You're movie people. You've seen the animated food. It looks amazing. You can never have it. Why can't it be real?
She's got that antique wooden box, and she's off to school. And we've already got the montage. We already know what we're doing. She meets a Japanese cuisine guy, and then you get a look at something wildly different. And she sees it, and she really digs it. She's like, no, I gotta focus. And so they get to talking, and then they're study buddies. They meet food truck guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, now we gotta decide maybe one, maybe two events. But we have to decide at least one. What is the big bit that either reveals the villain and or is how she discovers the cooking competition? I say two events, but it really should be one. Well, there should be, I say two because there needs to be an introduction of a villain who can either be manifest as a person, but specifically the real villain is her, you know, misconception about letting vanity influence her relationship with cooking.
Okay, yeah, well then I think it's like instructors being kind of dismissive of the cuisine that she brings to the table. But they're like, it's Mexican food. It's not really the kind of Mexican food that we're used to because we're out here in California, but it's just Mexican food. It's more not, of the same.
It's not different
it's
enough.
It's not different enough. And that sort of leads us into the, like, what we have our taco truck guru saying later is, like, you can make it different, but there's no way you're going to make it better.
Yeah, word. Okay.
Like, there's nothing wrong with making it different.
So is there a villain manifest as a person? I imagine either a professor or like an upperclassman. I do dig upperclassmen because then, you know, you do respect professors. Like, all students respect professors on some level, but making it an upperclassman, it's more, we really drive home the connection of this is what I want to become.
Okay. Yeah. I do like that. And like the professors, I think misconstruing what the professors are saying is sort of better than having professors be like, no.
That comes off as what I like to call the mustache twirling villain.
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be a philosophy behind the bad guys.
And the mentality here is that it's like, this food is great, but we're familiar with it, and you want to bring something new to it. If you're going to cook professionally, if you want to open a restaurant, then it needs to be brought to people in a new way. And that there's a moment in this story where she takes that message as being like, this food, the food that I know already is not good enough to take me up to this higher level. And it sort of disrupts her relationship with food.
Right. Okay. That's really good. Before we cut to commercial, do we want to add one more event? Because right now we've got... Actually, we didn't come up with the event. Do we want to come up with one or two? One being how she finds out about the competition, and two being she finds out about the competition. But before that, we introduce the villain in some way. Maybe he's the judge at the, you know, Japanese cuisine showdown. Maybe he's there, but that's not his real introduction. That's just, like, we get a taste of him.
Yeah, okay. I think that having these things be slightly out of sync works well, is that sort of like the upperclassman at this intensive or this culinary school is the our protagonist is aspiring to be more like, won this competition last year.
Mm.
And like, he or she, I don't think we'll decide that during the break, is like very masterful of these techniques, is very much a modern stylistic kind of chef.
Yeah.
Like maybe incorporating molecular gastronomy and sous vide cooking and all of this stuff. And as sort of a reward for having won this competition previously, now they're one of the judges.
I've got it. Okay, here we go. The introduction of the villain is her taking a tour of campus, and they just sort of walk by like a, you know, some futuristic cool looking, you couldn't quite call it a kitchen, it looks like a lab. And she's like, yo, what is all this? And then upperclassmen, don't touch that. It's me, Dick Dastardly, twirling my mustache. You're, like, below me, you're a child. And then they walk away from that experience going, like, what's up with that guy? He clearly doesn't get cooking. And, you know, Japanese cuisine guys, like, just shrug it off. I just shrugged it off. And she, like, seems to shrug it off, but it, like, bothers her. Like, that guy, like, he clearly didn't know what he was talking about. But still, rude. And then the midpoint finding out about the competition is, like, maybe the prelims, maybe she like challenges him to a showdown, but at that point we see he is not all talk, this bad guy. He does use that equipment, he uses it right, he uses it well, and so she is like dazzled when he gives, you know, when he serves something molecular gastronomy style, and it doesn't even look like food, but it, you know, it's, you know, pleasing to all the senses. It smells, looks, and tastes amazing.
Yeah, it's all either spherified, deconstructed, or foam.
Okay, there we go. We've got the midpoint, and then he's, you know, it's like, oh, why are we watching this? Oh, the competition. Oh, that competition we talked about? Yeah, that guy who won it last year, he's, like, doing some, like, showcase. And she's like, oh, let's see who... Oh, that jerk. Well, I mean, I'm sure he couldn't, and then that happens, and she's like, oh, dang, I'm going up against that.
Yeah, and that, and, like, she's just come off of, like, a negative review from a professor of, it's like, delicious, but uninspired.
Boom. That, we gotta stop talking, otherwise we won't have anything for the second half.
Okay, so, we'll be back with, names with some needless deeper meaning for each of our characters.
And an inspired title, because that is what most movies are lacking nowadays.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a problem. We'll be right back. And we're back.
We thought of a name for the movie, La Comida, because I'm given to understand, because keep in mind, I did very little research. I opened up a couple Wikipedia tabs on my computer. But, you know, in the real world, we would run this by someone who, like, specializes in this kind of research, and at least by one Mexican person. We would call it La Comida, because in Mexico, I'm given to understand, they eat one big meal per day, unlike here in the States, where we consider breakfast, lunch, and dinner the three meals of the day. So it actually takes on a different meaning in over there versus here in the States. It literally translates to the food, but under different contexts, it could translate to the food or the meal or even like the lunch or the dinner or the supper. And we thought that was very thematically appropriate.
We have named our protagonist Kareem after Kareem Lopez, who in 2019 became the first Mexican woman to win a Michelin star.
We named the Japanese cuisine dude Soma after, I don't remember his other name, but in Shokugeki no Soma, which I don't know what it actually translates to, but the show in English was called Food Wars. It was a really fun anime, and the main character's family name was Soma. Also, I think with a Mexican accent, you could really nail just the pronunciation of Soma.
Finally, we have named our villain Antonio, because after a little bit of searching, we found that it means beyond praise in Italian, which just sounds kind of awesome. Like, the original meaning behind that name in Italian is beyond praise, which is a great villain. It's somebody who believes they've transcended the need for other people, who thinks they are so great and perfect that they have nothing left to learn from others.
That's so great.
Right?
I love it. All right, now...
We did forget to mention, we gave our guru, Taco Truck Man, the name Nacho, which is short for Ignacio. I just searched that up without telling Eric. It turns out it means fiery, but also we just think it's kind of, one, in this kind of movie, it'd be nice to have at least one person who's directly named after food, and two, it's just kind of fun to have a guy named Nacho who sells tacos.
Yeah,
it's ironic. A joke in there.
Ironic on two fronts. His name is Nacho, he sells tacos, and his name means fiery?
Yeah.
And he's a very cool, down-to-earth dude. Yeah. I dig that.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have the midpoint. We know where we're going for the finale. Do we want to just dive in and start deciding events chronologically, how they happen, what happens? Or do we want to decide the ending? Whether she wins or loses and what meaningful change happens? Or do we want to get into nitty-gritty details, which I think is unwise to come up with first? You know, do we want to introduce a new character? What are the? Then we're prioritizing vibes over story, and this show's called Storytap. I'm thinking, how many events do we need? We have the one that sort of sends her into her downward spiral of, we see Antonio really perform, and that really gets to her, and she forgets that what she wants is to become a better chef, so she, you know, gets caught up in wanting praise. We have that event. She starts on her downward spiral, the montage. Is it just the montage, or is there some sort of event? Yeah, she needs to... Yeah. After the montage, before Nacho tries to, like, you know, pick her up by her bootstraps, we need something. We need her to feel like she has already failed, and she doesn't even want to go to the competition. All right, now we've got it. We've split it into two major sort of mini acts. The act of going down in her downward spiral world but not even noticing it. Then she fails to perform, and then she's at her darkest hour, and then Ignacio pulls her up, and she's like, all right, let's go. And then that very last act, that last mini act, is her cooking at the competition.
Right. Okay, well then, like, there's the downward spiral. I feel like the downward spiral is making this assortment of cool and exciting different versions of her signature dishes that don't quite hold up to scratch.
Mm.
Like, they're not quite good enough. Like, they're new. They're different. But they're not the same. It's like people are trying them. She like tries them and she gets a lot of like, wow, it's beautiful, but eh. And then I feel like the darkest hour moment is that, like, is her trying to make her signature dishes normally and it not coming together.
Okay, yeah, how about this is a pretty good darkest hour, I think. Her family comes to visit, And she is like, all right, I've been keeping these recipes a secret. Y'all are about to be dazzled. Y'all are about to be blown away. And she cooks something wildly weird. We think it's cool because we know that that's like what's hip and what's mainstream according to the movie. And then she serves it, expects this like dazzled, amazed reaction from the fam. And they're like, you know, not cartoonishly like, oh, I don't get it. They're like polite. They're like, oh, that's nice. How does it taste? And then like,
yep,
maybe they eat it wrong. And, you know, because we get carried away with food. We try to turn it into art and we try to tell you how to eat it for the best possible impact. Some of them eat it wrong. And she's just like, this is wrong. This is dumb. Y'all don't get it. Like, this stinks. And then, you know, the one she has the most connection with, maybe her mom, is like, I'll eat it, right? I haven't started yet. And she's like, okay. She walks her through it. And then her mom is like, it's okay. She doesn't say it's okay. Maybe she's polite. She's like, it's good. But she can tell she's lying. And then she's in her darkest hour. And then she goes, you know, cocoon mode. I call it cocoon mode when someone's in their darkest hour and they just, you know, wrap themselves in a cocoon, a blanket cocoon, and just eats ice cream. And then she goes to her comfort food place, the taco truck get together, and she's just sampling a bunch of stuff from taco trucks, and Nacho is there, and he's like, what's up, hermanita? I don't know if that's actually how people talk like that, but that means little sister, I think. Small sister? Anyway.
Small sister.
What's up, small sister? And
I actually love that.
And Nacho rolls up, and he's like, what's wrong? And she's, you know, airs out to him, and he's like, oh, that's a bummer. And then last name slip or something. And he's like, yo, no way. I'm a distant cousin or something. So what happened? And she's like, well, I made this. And he like looks at it and he's like, you know, he is blunt. Where everyone else was polite. And she was like, they just don't get it. He's like, this is dumb.
This is dumb. This is gimmick cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can change the food. You can make it better. But if you don't make it right first,
the secret ingredient is love.
Mm-hmm.
Type of stuff. And then, you know, fun cooking montage. Like, Nacho invites her over to his fam's spot, maybe. But I don't want Kareem's family to, like, leave on such bad terms. But I also don't want them to be just left on standby while she has a fun time at Nacho's place, you know?
So, are you thinking a family team-up? A delicious, collaborative effort? And that the result is this serving of slightly modified California and Texas Mexican food fusion.
Word.
With just like a little spin on it. Like, big, it's like sour cream foam dots.
Big ass extended family get together cookout, and then it's good times all the way. And then we have a little mini act break. Maybe Soma comes through again, and then we talk like, all right, maybe there are teams for the cookout. I don't know. That seems like an unimportant detail. And then she's like, and they're like, what's the game plan? And she's like, pretend you're cooking for your mom. And, you know, maybe her other teammates or other contestants are like, huh, that's dumb. Or what? Why would I? And Soma's like, ah, let's go. And they're like, yeah, this guy gets it. And then they just go, they just have fun. And maybe it's a montage. Maybe it's, you know, plays out like a full blown mini act. But the point is, Antonio gets up there, puts the food down, and he's like, mine looks and smells better than yours. And then, like, one of the chefs is blind and can't smell. And then they're like, yeah, bro, you gotta, like, accommodate everybody. The judges are very, like, very intimidating, and then turn out to be, like, cool people. I think the judges, maybe we establish them as characters in the first act, in the first part of the movie, as these far-off untouchables. And then once they're in front of us, once we're talking to them, they are very, like, they have a very healthy relationship with food.
Yeah. I think what comes to mind is that, like, when you make something that tastes like home for someone else, it doesn't taste like their home, but it tastes like they're a guest in your home to them.
Ah, okay. That was some straight philosophy right there.
Thank you. I actually knew that was one of the best things I've ever said, but I was trying to be cool about it. But now I've ruined it. But let's keep going.
You've said that before, and was that rehearsed, or did you hear that?
No,
somewhere?
I just thought of that.
Holy, that was sick.
Thank God we were recording when I said that.
Sick. Anyway, so yeah, that's basically what it is. That could be a thing. She could like talk to the judges, maybe not off camera, but like we see it happen, but we don't get the vibe that they do have that healthy down to earth relationship with food. You know, it's just like, hi, blah, 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 where are you from? What would you like? And we
get that through in Francais, and I killed a man with this thumb.
And we get that's what she was doing through like a mini flashback. Like Antonio was so caught up in his own plan, his own idea, that he was like, I have created the perfect shrimp, you know. Like he is a cartoon villain, so it could be a little over the top, like, I've made the perfect single ingredient or whatever. And then one of them is like, yeah, it's good, but it could definitely use, you know, some spice. Like, what? Antonio's like fuming, and he's like, what do you mean I lose? And then, oh, here we go. Kareem confronts him. She's like, well, like, I tried it and I thought it was really good. Do you want to try mine? And he's like, fine. Oh, damn, that's good. And maybe we have one of those Anton Ego flashbacks.
He's like, that's delicious.
That must be
good. You know what it'd make? You know, oh, it'd be great with this shrimp.
That would be really good. And then Antonio gets invited to the cookouts. Oh, this is great. And that would be such a fun sort of denouement during the credits kind of thing, is Antonio has this, maybe he has his own, maybe, because, you know, he's right out of culinary school, so it would be unrealistic for him to have his own restaurant, but it's a cartoon movie. Who cares? He has his own.
It's a cartoon movie. Two of them go halvesies on a food truck.
Antonio has, like, a big, fancy, like, really cutting-edge restaurant, but then, you know, the Kareem's, but Kareem's family, like, rolls up, and he doesn't mind that they're, like, not black tie or anything. He's like, hey, come in, let's compare recipes, let's have a good time.
Yes.
This is so, like, much fun.
Come in, okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 16 for the chef's table. I've got, you're gonna love this one, I've got a great one. You get those spices you gave me, I've done something you'll never guess with them, but it still tastes exactly right.
This is so good. And we can't forget the antique wooden box. That's what Nacho and her talk about in her darkest hour when he's trying to turn her around. He's like, you had that weird box when you came through, like, that first time I saw you. What was that about? And she's like, oh, spices, blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, oh, yeah, since I'm about to move home because it's my darkest hour, right? It's right here. And then she, like, whips it open. And he's like, is that fill in the blank spice you can only find in some places? Yeah. And she's like, what? Yeah, it's just not, like, exotic or anything, as my family uses that all the time. And he's like, it's exotic here, Hermanita, if we say that. Pour it on. You know?
Yeah.
Damn, but that denouement, that ending scene with the credits and everything, that would be so much fun. Oh, gosh, this is a fun movie. Do you have anything that we forgot to mention? Any characters? Any character developments?
No, I don't think so. I feel like we kind of left Soma hanging.
Yeah, Soma feels kind of flat, but...
So, I mean, Soma is, like... Soma can be sous chef at Antonio's. And it's just, like, sure. He worships Antonio.
Yeah.
He worships Antonio. He thinks Antonio's the most amazing guy ever. And it's just, like, I can't be like him. And sort of his little character arc is, like, that's not the point.
Nice.
I'm not him. I'm me, and what I do is also cool and important. It's just different from what he does.
This is sick.
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately,
and, what?
The show is getting shorter and shorter because we're getting too good at our job.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm just, I don't know. I'm pretty hungry for Mexican food right now. Where are we at?
We've reached the point. I think this story's potential has been tapped.
I concur, and I really want a burrito right now.
The end?
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at StoryTap Podcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.